We are all on a spiritual journey. And no matter where you are on that journey, whether you would already call yourself a Christian or you've been a Christian for a long time, or maybe you don't even consider that, but no matter where you are, you're on that journey. And so we've been talking through what spiritual growth looks like, primarily using terms that Robert Mulholland uses on from his book, Invitation to a Journey. But the key thing to remember about spiritual growth, no matter where you are in that process, is that spiritual growth isn't linear. The changes happen in a variety of areas of our life at varying speeds, and they vary from person to person. Someone can be a Christian for a year and be way more spiritually mature and further down the path than somebody who's been a Christian for 15. People who have not even discovered what it means to follow Jesus may be more in tune with what Jesus wants them to do than someone who's been a Christian for a while. And no one has it figured out. Last week, we talked about this stage called purgation. This idea of setting aside sin from our lives, putting off the old self, as Paul calls it, and putting on the new. And if purgation, repentance, it's called in church circles a lot of times, is the setting aside of sin, then this next step, this next idea, illumination, is the moving forward. And when it comes to purgation and setting aside sin, it's a little more straightforward. Because to some degree, you can track sin in progress. You can keep track of how many days since you failed a particular sin that's nagging at you. You can look back and go, I used to be this way and now I'm not, or I used to do this and now I don't. And our churches are filled with revolutionary people being set free from burdens from sin, and you can see it, it's tangible, and you can go, oh, they've put that behind them. It's easy to track. But illumination, this next step, is a little more, for lack of a better word, spiritual. It's a little more hard to manage or even know if it's happening. In fact, it often gets overlooked. We spend so much of our time as Christians on the defensive. We're constantly trying to avoid sin, trying to put sin away, trying to avoid temptation, defending the purity of ourselves, where illumination is a deep formation of your heart. We spend all that time cultivating spiritual defense. How can I protect myself from sin? Who do I not need to hang around? How can I avoid not being tempted this way or that way? For goodness sake, don't buy the cookies if you don't want to eat dessert. And so we're on the defensive all the time, and we never spend any time cultivating a spiritual offense. But our spiritual offense is this process of illumination. This is the way Mulholland defines it. He calls illumination a total consecration to God in love, giving God control of the relationship. That's the hard part. It's what Wesley called Christian perfection. This idea that in the inclinations of our heart, in the intent of our heart, we are so in love with God, so focused on Him. Our heart, the inclination of our heart is prayer, is this attitude of worship continuously. But it is this moving forward in our heart, it's this dedication of ourselves forward versus looking back to our old self. We've put off the sin, we've repented. Now we're putting on the new self. Jesus said that loving God and loving others sums up the whole law. In other words, if we're focused on loving God and others, sin removal will take care of itself. Instead of sitting down to go, okay, this sin has to go, what if I'm focused on what it means to love God today? What if the mindset that I am dealing with is, how can I love my neighbor today? How can I love the person I don't like very much right now? How can I demonstrate God's love to a person that actually doesn't like me or makes my life difficult? If that's the focus of our energy, then avoiding sin is not as much of a trick. If all of our energy goes to the elimination of sin, and focus and time and energy, then we don't spend any time cultivating our love for God or for others. And so it becomes what we don't do or what we are against versus figuring out how to become Christ-like in our very heart and soul. Romans 12:12, starting in verse 9, says this. This is Paul talking to the church at Rome. He says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And then verse 12 says this. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Now, while there are certain places where Paul says don't do this or stay away from this or avoid this or put away wrath, when he's talking about putting off the old self, these passages are a beautiful picture of what cultivating Christian perfection looks like. Figure out how to love, how to honor others above yourself. Serve the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Be patient when you're suffering or in affliction. Be faithful with prayer. These are positive things we're moving toward, things we're spending our energy on, spending our life on, sharing with the Lord's people who are in need, and practicing hospitality. You do those things, you're not sinning. You're not playing defense. So what exactly does illumination look like? Simply, it's a movement in your experience of God from Him being out there to experiencing Him as present in your being. Remember I said setting aside sin is a little more obvious. You can keep track. But how do you change your experience of God from being God's over there or God's out there to being fully aware of Him being present in your life, in everything? The desires of your heart, the circumstances, the being patient when you're afflicted, when you're struggling. How do you cultivate an attitude of heart? And I don't mean like bad attitude, good attitude. I'm talking about the disposition, the desires, the focus of your spiritual energy is on loving God and loving others and experiencing His power inside of you instead of it being God's over there and we've got to help Him and do stuff. Versus God working through us. Paul's also famous for saying, pray without ceasing. And the only way to do that is to continuously increase our awareness of God. That takes conscious practice. That's what we've talked about before, why the spiritual disciplines are so important. The continuous practice of attuning your heart towards God and the things that God wants. Do that. That growing connection will transform your connection to the world. Jacob is running for his life. He's out in the desert in the middle of nowhere, and he pulls up a rock on the side of the road and goes to sleep, and he has this vision of angels ascending and descending and going from the earth into heaven and back and forth. And when he wakes up the next day, he says, God was in this place and I didn't even know it. Jacob has this moment of spiritual awakening of realizing that God is in the most random, far-reaching, minuscule, minute details and circumstances. He's in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere. There's no Walmart nearby. He's just on a plot of dirt, and he wakes up and he says, God was here, and I didn't even realize it. Jacob needed to learn how to become attuned to a God who is always at work and always present in his life. He has that moment of illumination when he realizes God was here, I didn't even see it. I didn't even know it. And that growing transformation will help, ironically, will help us to connect to the world in a whole new way. Illumination leads to increased social concern. That's right. If we want what God wants, and that's where we've tuned our heart through spiritual discipline and continuously shaping the attitude of our heart towards prayer all the time and asking God to make himself real, and we really want what God wants, then we will see those who are hurting, those who are afflicted, those who need love and peace of God. And when we do that, our good works toward them will flow from love, not duty. How many spiritual practices, how many things the church has asked you to do, have you done just because the church asked you to do them? I don't really want to do this. I don't really want to go here, but I just feel like I should. When our heart wants what God wants, we'll go because we love going there. We'll be generous because we know God wants us to and because we want to too. And it comes from love, not obligation. You see, illumination is a life of deep sensitivity and responsiveness to the presence of God within our very being. And it's at the heart of our life with the world around us. When our heart's in tune with God and wants what God wants, we see the world the way God wants us to see it. We see His, we have His compassion. We have His love. We have His desires. And that illumination, as Mulholland calls it, is this ability to see the world the way God sees it, to see the opportunities, to recognize God at work in our own hearts and in the lives of those around us, and how He is specifically inviting us to partner with Him. If we're too busy playing defense, if we're too busy trying to keep a set of rules and standards and keep sin at bay, we don't have an awareness of God or a sensitivity towards God being at work right in front of our eyes. Illumination says that our hearts are in tune and responsive and reflexive, and we can move at a moment's notice because God has asked us to move. And if that's where our focus is, we won't have to worry about removing sin from our life, because the God who is at work within us will have already put those desires to death. Let's pray. God, as we go through this week, and as we are working so hard to shape our hearts, as we are working so hard to remove sin from our life, remind us that it's You who is at work in us. Open our eyes to where You are working inside our heart, what You are calling to. Make us sensitive. Make us responsive. Open our eyes to the world that You see, so that we can respond and serve and go and do in the way You have called us to go. In Your precious Son, Jesus' name.